is the Northwoods Fishing Report from Muskie 360 with your host, Josh Krieger.
Alright, everyone, welcome. You are tuned in to another episode of the Northwoods Fishing Report, and I am your host, Eagle River Muskie Guy, Josh Krieger. I would like to start out this week's episode by first off apologizing for not getting an episode out last week. It was super, super busy up here in the Northwoods. I had my mom, my grandmother, and my mom's dog all staying at my house here with me for the last week. And between that, fireworks and festivities and spending time with family and everything like that and getting a little fishing done, I didn't have time. I didn't have a great place to record with family being here. There was no quiet time, especially with all the fireworks and traffic going by. So again, my apologies for that. But we do have, you know, an episode here for you this week, and we will have one every week continuing throughout the summer. Speaking of the fireworks and festivities, the 4th of July obviously took place here last week, and for the third year in a row, we have put at least one fish in my boat on the 4th of July. This year, we were out on the Eagle River chain in the morning before all the traffic came out. I was out with my good buddy Doug. He's an ex-Marine, and I know all Marines will tell you there's no such thing as an ex-Marine. I did not serve. Thank you for anyone who did. I do appreciate your service. I'm not trying to offend anyone. He is no longer in the service, and by all definitions, the way I look at it, that's considered ex, and he was in the Marines. So anyways, I take him out on the 4th of July. I did last year, did again this year. We caught a fish again this year, and this year we go to the Eagle River chain and we're fishing a spot where Doug has caught a really nice fish with me in the dark before, and that was a great story for another time. So we're fishing this same spot and Doug brings up a pretty nice fish on a bucktail, and it comes in and just doesn't quite commit in the figure eight, but it was moving pretty decent. So we finish fishing the spot and I said, you know what, let's go back on that fish. So I pull up the trolling motor and I kind of fire up the big engine and I go back up to just in front of where, you know, we kind of move that fish, and I bomb a cast up. Boom, first cast, two cranks in on a double number eight bucktail. I get smoked and we put a good fish in the boat. We moved that fish. We went back on it after we finished the spot, you know, 10, 15 minutes after we moved it, caught it on the very first cast. It's always nice when that works out. It doesn't happen often that effectively and efficiently, but we love when it does, and there are no complaints when it does, that's for sure. Speaking of that fish was also caught in the morning, as I mentioned, and the morning bite has been pretty productive lately. Getting out before all the boat traffic has been very, very important. Once the boat traffic fires up in the heat of the day, we still do catch fish and contact them, but, you know, the morning and the evening, much more productive in the morning more so than the evening here the last couple of weeks. The water temps are remaining pretty consistent. They're still in the upper 60s and low 70s pretty much everywhere I'm seeing. Not a whole lot has changed as far as what we're fishing. The mid-lake bars are still the best producers, especially, you know, the ones that you can find adjacent to river channels that are deeper because you have the deep water and moving water. These spots hold fish all summer long. They can be rock bars, weed bars. They can even be sandbars if the sandbars hold bait fish. The bait fish move up onto those sandbars. The muskies will move up there to feed on them when they're active as well. With that being said, with fishing all these mid-lake bars, I have started catching a lot more fish on the breaks just outside of the weed edge as opposed to over the top of the weeds. We are still catching some fish out of the weeds. I'm not, you know, saying to totally not cast over the weeds. The fish are still there, but I am catching a lot more actually out of them and off the break a little bit. Again, it's all about focusing on what the bait fish is telling you to do. You know, if there's bait fish busting the surface over the top of the weeds on the bar, fish the weeds. Obviously, there's something pushing those bait fish up and, you know, making them active as well. And obviously, there's plenty of food there if that's the case too. If you're seeing a bunch of bait off of the edge on your locator, or even breaking the surface off the edge, fish off the edge. you know, again, let the fish tell you what to do. These spots, these fish are going to be there. It's just whether they're up shallow or off the edge, you know, right on the edge or out off the break a little bit. So use your electronics, read the bait fish, and then cast accordingly. Focus on targeting the areas where the bait fish are. They're going to be somewhere around that bar, whether it's in the open water off the edge or right on the edge or in the weeds. So figure out where the bait is, focus on targeting those areas, and it'll often change throughout the day. As the day progresses, the bait fish tend to move a little bit deeper. They'll move out of the shallow weeds and more to the edges. So the mornings and the evenings are where oftentimes I'm fishing over the weeds on the bars, and mid-afternoon or high bright skies is often when I'm fishing the deeper water, you know, just outside of the weed edge on the break. And when I'm doing that, it's most effective to cast parallel to the weed edge. You know, we're going to be a couple feet outside of it. We want to be off right over the break, but we want to be casting parallel to it so our bait's moving along it the entirety of our cast. And the benefit of that is if there is a fish sitting right on the edge of the weeds looking out over the break, it's going to see our bait as well moving along the whole weed line. We're covering a lot of water there where the fish could be. So there again, if the bait is up high, we're going to throw baits that are running a little bit higher. And if the bait is, you know, more suspended or down a little bit deeper, we're going to throw deeper running baits. The most productive baits for me here over the last couple of weeks have been swimming dogs. As far as bucktails go, the 7-9 trigger blades and double number 8s. The Red October tube has been very good off the edges as well. And then those 6-9 inch twitch baits, whether it's grandmas or slammers or regular size shallow raiders, any of them are going to work. They're catching fish right now. They are effective. And again, a lot of times it's when we're twitching those baits and it's on the paws. You know, the hookup ratio may not be as good. And the biggest key is to watch your line when you're twitching these baits. If you're twitching your bait and that fish hits on the paws, you may not feel it right away, but you'll see your line jump. So pay attention, watch your line on the surface as you're twitching these baits, and you'll have a much better hookup ratio with a lot of these fish on twitch baits. Fishing over the last week and a half has been very good overall. You know, we had the new moon on Friday the 5th, and around the new moon, basically that whole week before and after, those 3 days before, 3 days after, that whole week, 7 days was very, very good. The fish have been active. A lot of people have been catching them. We're catching them in shallow water. We're catching them in deep water. We're catching them on all sorts of baits. The topwater bite has died off a little bit for me in my boat. I know guys are still catching them on topwater. I'm not saying you can't. It just hasn't been as effective as some of these other baits for us here this last week. I have one great story that I really... I guess it's not a great story. I have one story I want to share from, you know, the past week and a half out on the water. I love what I do, but, you know, you really think you want to be a fishing guide, huh? This was one of those examples, one of those stories where, you know, like I said, I love what I do, but the job isn't always glitz and glamour. You know, there's a lot of maintenance and stuff like that involved with what we're doing. I have 2 boats that I have to maintain. I have to maintain my vehicle and all the rods and reels for my clients and myself. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And this week, you know, we had a malfunction and I'm out on Lac-Vue Air with some clients. I mean, we didn't have a bad day. We were supposed to have a full day on the water and we ended up having to stop after 6 hours. And unfortunately, right before storms were coming in, it really did almost kill me to have to call it when we did, but we really didn't have a way to effectively fish. What had happened was, we're out on Lac-Vue des Aires, which is a very large lake up here, and it's pretty windy. It's hour about 5.5. And all of a sudden, my trolling motor seems to have less power. And I know it was fully charged because I plug it in every night, and when I unplug it, I always check the onboard charger to make sure that it shows that they were full. So they're full and I'm like, man, what the heck? I don't have the power I need. I can't fight the wind. You know, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's some weeds. We were around thick weeds. That wasn't the case. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's some fishing line around the trolling motor shaft in between the prop and, you know, the actual shaft of the trolling motor. So we head into the landing. I grab my tools out of the car and I take the prop off. And Well, long story short, wouldn't you know it, we end up losing the cotter pin that holds the prop onto the shaft of the trolling motor. It falls into the water. Without this, the prop cannot go back on and effectively spin anymore. So I no longer have a trolling motor. Thank goodness my clients were super understanding, great, great people. I had a great time on the water with them. We did catch a muskie, lost one, caught two pike. So we did have a good time. But thank you very, very much for being so understanding. Sometimes things break. You know, that's part of life in every job anywhere. You know, when you're relying on equipment, sometimes things break down. And like I said, all we can do is kind of just go with the flow and roll with the punches. You know, I bring all my tools I can to try to make sure I'm prepared if anything happens. And in this situation, something did happen. I had the tools I needed and ended up losing one of the pieces I needed in the lake. So us as guides, we really do appreciate clients being cooperative and understanding. Obviously, we don't want anything to happen on the water either. We prefer to have a good, smooth running day as well. So again, thank you to the clients this past week for being so understanding with that whole situation. Sometimes, like I said, when you're relying on all this equipment, things happen. So I get back to the house after all of this. I have to get another cotter key or cotter pin to replace the one. So I go to the hardware store and I get one. And I come home and now I'm trying to diagnose the issue of why my trolling motor didn't have any power. So I check the batteries and all the connections are tight and everything. And so I plug the onboard charger in, and as soon as I plug it in, it shows all the batteries are full and it goes into maintain mode. And I plug an individual battery charger in and onto one of the batteries and it's reading, you know, like 40% full. And so what ended up happening was my onboard charger, when I plugged it in, would show that the batteries were fully charged and it wouldn't actually charge them. It was just going into maintain mode. So I went out that morning with less than a full charge and had assumed I had a full charge because I had looked at the onboard charger and it had told me that I had a full charge. So again, you know, sometimes things happen and we just got to go with the flow and make the most of it. And like I said, we ended up having a pretty good day. Still caught a muskie and a couple of pike and had one other muskie blow up, you know, that just didn't quite get hooks on a shallowrider. So looking ahead to the weekend, I don't anticipate a whole lot changing. We're kind of in that midsummer pattern. So mid-lake bars going to be the key focus. Again, find the bait fish. If they're deep, fish deep. If they're shallow, fish shallow. Try to throw baits that are running just underneath where they're sitting in the water column. If the predators are sitting near the bottom, we want to throw baits that run near the bottom, such as rubber. And if they're sitting up high, we're going to throw baits that run a little bit higher in the water column. As far as the sunrise goes for Saturday, it will be at 5:20 in the morning, and the sun will set at 8:44 in the evening, which gives us a total of 15 hours and 24 minutes of daylight. The moon will rise at 1:16 p.m., which gives us a minor from 12:46 to 1:46 in the afternoon. There is technically no moon set on Saturday because it sets at 12:10 a.m. on Sunday morning. So there is an overlapping minor on Saturday and Sunday from 11:40 p.m. to 12:40 a.m. The moon will be directly overhead at 6:50 p.m., which will give us a major from 5:50 to 7:50 in the evening. And the moon will be directly underfoot on Saturday at 6:30 in the morning, which gives us a morning major from 5:30 to 7:30. Looking at Sunday, July 14th, the sun will rise at 5:21 in the morning and will then again set like it did on Saturday at 8:44 in the evening. So we lose 1 minute of daylight, bringing us to a total of 15 hours and 23 minutes. The moon will rise on Sunday at 2:22 in the afternoon, which gives us a minor from 1:52 to 2:52 in the afternoon. As I mentioned, that moon set is technically at 12:10 in the morning, so we have that overlapping minor Saturday night, Sunday morning, 11:40 p.m. to 12:40 a.m. The moon will be directly overhead at 7:31 in the evening, which gives us a major from 6:31 to 8:31 p.m. And then the moon will be directly underfoot at 7:10 in the morning, which gives us a morning major from 6:10 until 8:10. Guys, I'm really excited. We're going to try something new here. We are going to do a Q&A. I want you guys to send in any questions you may have about specific lakes or, you know, kind of fishing up here in the Northwoods, conditions, anything it may be. I'm not going to go into specifics on exact spots and GPS coordinates and all that stuff. But as far as general questions or anything you want to know about a specific lake, feel free. Please send the email to eaglerivermuskyguide@gmail.com, and the subject of the email, just put podcast Q&A. When I receive the emails, I'll look at them, and then I will, you know, try to answer as many of them as I can and as well as I can here next week and for the future weeks following. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week. Good luck out there on the water fishing. Go catch that big one.
The Muskie 360 Northwoods Fishing Report is brought to you by these fine sponsors. The Muskie Shop, the world's largest muskie outfitter. Livingston Lures, hear the difference. The Figure 8 Lure Company. The Muskie 360 app.